Reading from Chaitanya Charitamrita Majjhalila chapter 8, texts 1 to 9, 130 and 131. And we have 130 and 131 on the board, so I'll read the one before that. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued, "Please do not try to cheat me, thinking of me as a learned sannyasi. Please satisfy my mind by just describing the truth of Radha and Krishna." Cheating going on here. Everyone understand the meaning of this? What is the cheating? Can anyone explain? What is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saying? He's telling Ramana and Roy not to cheat. What does he mean? What will he be cheated? How will Lord Chaitanya be cheated? He's a sannyasi and he's thinking, you see me as a sannyasi, do not cheat me. What does it mean? Yes.
Is he trying to say like Ramanandarai is a Vaishnava and so...
It's what?
Like Ramanandarai is a Vaishnava and so technically sort of higher. Like don't try to cheat me by saying you're lower like that.
Yes. He's saying, okay, I'm a sannyasi according to social convention, Mahaprabhu. And Ramanandarai, according to social convention, he's the Shudra. He's the governor of Madras, but he's a Shudra. That's the system. So generally, a Shudra wouldn't instruct a sannyasi. But Mahaprabhu, he's relishing the words of Ramananda Roy. So he's saying, don't consider me a sannyasi. Which is why Vishwambar gave a lovely class yesterday. Kebhavitpra kebhanyas shudra kenanai, jay krishna tattvaveda se guru hai. He's telling, you're the guru, don't see me as a sannyasi and you as a Shudra. Because you know Krishna tattva, you can speak. Yeah, so he doesn't want to be cheated because Mahaprabhu, he's relishing the katha. It's coming from the mouth of Ramananda Roy. Now there's what, over 300 verses in this chapter. And if you notice, if you read the chapters of Chaitanya Charitamrita, you'll see that the verses have a Sanskrit introduction. It's a verse that describes each chapter. So in this chapter, and there's so many topics that could be discussed, but the particular topic that Krishnadas Kaviraj chooses to describe, to summarize this chapter, is that Ramananda Roy is empowered by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to speak, and by doing so, Mahaprabhu himself becomes ornamented. He's actually enjoying the katha from his devotee, even though he is the source of all knowledge. Sancharya Ramabhida Bhakti Megi. It's for Bhakti Siddhanta Chayam Ritani. Does it go again? Gorabdir etair amunavatirnaist tachkyatva ratnalayatam prayati. Saying, Ramananda Roy is like a cloud. And this cloud is full of rainwater, which has been evaporated from the ocean, which is Gauranga. Gauranga is the ocean. So the knowledge of Ramananda Roy is coming from Gauranga, just like the rainwater comes from the ocean. But then when the cloud drops rain on the ocean becomes full of jewels, like this. So it's said that the ocean of Gauranga has become jewel-like by hearing the cloud-like rainfall coming from Ramananda Roy, even though the cloud originates from the ocean, you see. So it's amazing how the ecstasy of Mahaprabhu increases by hearing from his devotee. So he doesn't want to be cheated. He wants Ramananda Roy to continue. And actually, if you look at how the conversation progresses, it begins with, it is external, ehobaya, right? There's so many answers that Ramananda Roy gives. When Mahaprabhu asks, what is the ultimate goal of life? This is external. Sarvadharma Prichaja, this is external. Finally, Gane Prayasam Udapashya Namanta Eva Jivanti Sanmukaritam Bhavadiyavartam Sanesitashritikatam Tanavamanobir Ye Praya Sojitatito Pyasitaistri Lokyam. Lord Brahma states, if you simply remain in your ashram and in your varna, don't make external changes and hear the Krishna Katha from the lips of a pure devotee, then you will conquer Krishna. Ultimately, you will conquer Krishna. And it was only then that Mahaprabhu said, yes, now we're talking. Now this is not external, this is the real thing. But he said, can you go on? Can you go on? And Ramananda Roy went through all the different rasas and a description of Radha Krishna pastimes and the rasa dance. And finally, Mahaprabhu says, now you've done it, you've completed it. It's sadhya, sadhana, nirnaya, the essence of sadhya, which is the goal, and sadhana, the means. Now you have given that essence. That was the original question. Can you give me the essence? Sadhyara, sara. Sara means the cream. What is the essence, the ultimate goal of life? And after all that discussion, finally, Mahaprabhu says, you've given it to me. Because he's completed, he's discussed the conjugal ras, discussed the rasa dance. It doesn't get any higher than that. But still, he's saying, can you say more? He wants more. Why does he want more? He said, Krishna bhakti janmamula hoi sadhusanga. Krishna prema janmi teho punar mukhya anga. The sadhusanga is the root of our devotional service, but even if we attain prema, it is still a principal anga, principal limb of our practice. You see, so sadhusanga is sadhya as well. It is not light. Sadhusanga is not a means to an end. It is a means to an end, and it's the end itself. So Mahaprabhu, he's fully satisfied. Of course, he's, from the point of view of tattva, he's Radha Krishna combined. Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Radha Krishna Nahayanya. He's completely satisfied. But because sadhu sangha is so relishable, so powerful, so potent, it is the goal in itself. It is, once you have attained perfection, what do you want to do? You want to carry on associating with devotees, you see? So that's the meaning of this, that even though Mahaprabhu, he knows everything, and even though Ramananda Roy has given everything, he still wants to carry on because he wants to churn the nectar more and more. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Sri Ramananda Roy was a great devotee of the Lord and a lover of God. And although his mind could not be covered by Krishna's illusory energy, and although he could understand the mind of the Lord, which was very strong and intense. Ramananda's mind became a little agitated. The perfect devotee always acts according to the desires of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But a materialistic man is carried away by the waves of the material energy. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur has said, Mayara vashi jaichi beshi kachi habu dubu bai. Does anyone know where this is? You find this? I searched. It's in Gitavali. It's a bhajan called Radha Krishna Bolo 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 Re Subai. A person under the grip of the material energy is carried away by the waves of that illusory energy. In other words, a person in the material world is a servant of Maya. However, a person in the spiritual energy is a servant of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Although Ramananda Roy knew that nothing was unknown to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he nonetheless began to speak further on the subject because the Lord desired it. Om Ajnana Timarandasya Gyananjana Salakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobistam Stapitam Yena Putale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yuta Padakamalang Sri Gurun Vaishnavangscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatan Vitangs Tangsajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parajana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakan Vitangscha Hey Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastate Tapta Kanchana Gaurange Radhe Vrindavanishvare Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vansha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanibhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So with the permission of all the devotees, I'd like to speak something, try to enliven you. If you're very unqualified, I don't have a taste. I was lamenting, actually, that in recent months, the only time I read Chaitanya Charitamrita is if someone asks me to give a class. So I'm thinking this lack of taste is actually my fault. But at the same time, I'm getting mercy because I've been given the honour of being able to say something. And I have my support with me today. Back to Jason, just gave me a picture, a beautiful picture of Radharani from Radhadesh. And she's got a lovely tulsi manjari stuck to her hand. And she's her you see, her hand is giving the blessings, you see. So blessings to everyone here. Jai. So I feel very, thank you very much. Back to Jason, he's got a very big heart. He likes to give gifts to the devotees. Hare Krishna. Jai. So I was reflecting, you know, sometimes we discuss this chapter and it's been mentioned a number of times that it's a very elevated chapter. The topic is very elevated. And then we have the question of, well, should we be discussing it, right? Should we discuss these elevated topics? So I was reading the policy of the Gaudiya Math at the time of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, and there were several sections of the Chaitanya Charitamrita which they would not discuss. I think this was one of them, actually, the second half of this chapter. Too elevated. And actually, even the Vedanta Sutra, some of the other texts like that, they wouldn't discuss these either, unless the devotee had a particular talent for logic. So if you wanted to be very intellectual, that was off limits. And if you wanted to enter into very high topics, that was off limits too. But there were some devotees who would discuss these things. There were some disciples of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati were considered qualified, and they would discuss some of the elevated topics, like some of the topics of Vijayapati and Vrindavan. Yes, Chandidas as well. There's Prabhupada pastime. It was Yogeshwar. If you've watched Prabhupada Memories, you may see it. There was one pastime where he was given a very elevated book. I think it was by Vija Vijayapati or Chandidas, anyway. And he started reading it. And he started reading it to Yogeshwar. And he said, Yogeshwar, listen to this. And he started talking about Radharani wrapping her leg around Krishna, etc. And Yogeshwar was like, oh, this is too elevated. And so he kind of crawled out. What do you think? And he's like, oh, I'm not qualified. And he said to Prabhupada, only you're qualified. And Prabhupada said, I'm not so qualified. He didn't even think to consider himself qualified. So anyway, there's a mood that we should approach this with great awe and reverence and respect. And at the time of the opening of the Bag Bazar temple in Kolkata, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati composed a poem. And one verse of this poem became very famous. Pujala Ragapata Gaurava Bangi Matala Harijana Vishayarungi means, we keep the raga marg, the path of spontaneous devotion. We keep it above us. We have awe and we pujala. We worship. We worship this very high standard of Raganuga Bhakti. We keep it above our head. We don't enter into it. It's above us. And matala harijana vishayarungi. But the residents of the mat, they are enjoying vishayarungi. They're enjoying their senses. They're becoming intoxicated. How? Not with material sense gratification, but with spiritual sense gratification, because they're enjoying opulent prasadam. They would have the big festivals. We see opulent prasadam actually most of the time, like in ISKCON at the beginning. You know, what were they eating? It was like boiled potatoes, Brussels sprouts. They had no money. Now we have so many donations coming through, and we have so much nice prasadam, and still people complain. But you think it's not nice now. You try. Imagine what it was like in the early days, trying to struggle to pay the bills, and they were out distributing Prabhupada's books, bringing in Lakshmi to try and pay the bills, and they had so little money, and it's such a big temple, how to run it, how to maintain it. And they were eating Brussels sprouts, boiled potatoes, etc. But they'd always have a big Sunday feast. So the same in the Gaudium Mat. I'm not sure if it wasn't a Sunday feast, but the festivals were celebrated very opulently. They had mountains. There's one story, there was a mountain of rice in one festival, and a dog came in, and the dog started eating a bit of the rice. And you know what Bhaktisananda Saraswati did? He went up to that place where the dog had eaten, and he took some of that rice and he ate it. Why? He was showing that Mahaprasadam can never be contaminated, and you can take it even from the mouth of a dog. You see? So the festivals are very opulent. So therefore, he said, Matala Harijana Vishayarangi, that the residents were enjoying great opulence. And also the principle of Yukta Vairagya, they would drive around in smart cars. Why? They were impressing the intelligentsia of India. So the Mat residents, they were enjoying, but not for themselves. They were taking all these opulences and they were honouring them and using them in Krishna's service. And that's the principle of Yukta Vairagya. So yes, Matala Harijana, they're getting intoxicated. And it's a clever play on words, because when you read the line, you think, what do you mean, getting intoxicated on sense gratification? But yes, it has two meanings, you see. So it's clever. So it became a famous verse, and it's a lesson to us all how we should approach topics like Ramananda Roy Samvad, which is very high, and we look at it and we think, well, where do I stand here, you know? How can I enter into these topics? But that is the way we should approach. And that's how we get access. So when I was asked to give this class, I thought to myself, how do we actually gain the taste? And I was thinking, the problem is we can't actually get it by our own endeavours. Recently, one devotee asked, when Kanamba Kanamaraj was giving class, he asked, how is it we give up sex life, but we don't become hard-hearted? And it's an interesting dilemma, because in spiritual life, we need to be hard on ourselves in order to get out of this material world. But at the same time, if we try too hard, we can become hard-hearted. Too much austerity makes us hard-hearted. Therefore, bhakti is the middle path. There's not too much austerity, but there's not too little. Too little means we'll get covered by sense gratification. Too much will become hard-hearted. Therefore, we have our Mahaprasadam. We have our feasts to soften our hearts. We have the beautiful vision of the deities, because that exquisite beauty softens our hearts. So it's a combination of, we're strict, you know, we don't engage in sense gratification, but we have our own sense gratification, but it's spiritual, you see. And that's how we do it. We don't get hard-hearted. We have to be balanced, you see. So by our own endeavour, we can try really hard to get the taste, but it's not going to come. It has to come through mercy. And we should understand that whatever taste we get, it's because we've actually pleased an advanced devotee. That's how we get the taste. Yasya prasada bhagavat prasado, yasya prasada nagati gatopi. We won't please Krishna directly. We have to try and please Krishna's devotees. And when Krishna's devotees are pleased, then Krishna's pleased. So to get that taste, we have to pray to the Vaishnavas. Please, maybe I can do some service for you that I can please you, because by pleasing you, I can get that higher taste. And then the mood descends. It's a descending process. So it said, Shuddha Shatva Visheshatma, Prema Suyangsha Samyabak, Ruchi Bishchitamasrinya, Krida Sau Bhava Uchati. The Bhav, preliminary love of God, it enters the heart when a ray of the sun of Prema enters the heart and causes a softening of the heart. Ruchi Bishchitamasrinya. Ruchi means taste. The taste comes when it descends. So we have to be in the receiving mood. Vishwan Bhaprabhu always says this. We have to be in a receiving mood. Shri Shri Radha Gokulananda Ki Jai. Shri 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 Ram Lakshman Hanumana Ki. Shri Shri Goritai Ki Jai. I sometimes have these little discussions with Ananta Prabhu, because I've been going out in a Harinam with him for many, many years. And there's different ways you can organize a Harinam. His mood is like, we have to be in the receiving mood. So no one should ask to lead the Harinam. You shouldn't ask. You should be told to lead. So even Ananta Prabhu, he won't lead a Harinam unless someone asks him. So if someone asks me to lead, I'll lead, and I'll say, now Ananta should lead. And because I've said Ananta should lead, he will lead. Or maybe he'll say, no, someone else should lead. But he'll never lead of his own accord. So he sometimes gets a little irritated when someone comes in a Harinam and says, can I lead? And I have a slightly different mood. I think, no. look, we don't have so many people coming. So when someone comes and they show enthusiasm, we should facilitate them. We should just be merciful and, yeah, let them lead, let them lead. Don't be so hard on them. So there's different two ways of looking at it. So I like to accommodate people. If they want to lead, I say, yeah, okay, yes, everyone try and lead, you know. Everyone has a shot. But Nananta actually gets everyone to lead in the end, so it doesn't really matter. But he doesn't like it. You don't ask, you know. If you ever go in Harina with Nananta, don't ask to lead. He frowns. He's like, that's not our mood. We should be in receiving mood. So it's the same with the mercy. The mercy descends. What does Lord Brahma say? Tatinu kampam sushamikshimano bunjana evatma kritam vipag. What's it go? Ritvagbhavubir vidadan namaste jiveta yo mukti pade sadoya bhak. If we just serve the Vaishnavas, serve Krishna, bow down regularly, steadily, then finally we'll become eligible for liberation. We'll get the mercy, we'll get the prema. It ultimately comes just through patience, you see. So it's the same with the Chaitanya Charitamrita. It is understood through patience. So that was what I was thinking when I was asked to give class. And then it sometimes happens this way. Throughout the week, various devotees were giving wonderful classes and they were touching on the same topic indirectly. I didn't realize but at the time. But then I realized, oh, wait a minute. When Antaranga Prabhu gave class, he was talking about Shuddha Sattva. And he was explaining there's three components to Shuddha Sattva. Sandini, Samvit, and Ladini. The Sandini is the existential potency. The Samvit is the knowledge potency. Ladini is the pleasure-giving potency. So Shuddha Sattva, it said, Sattvam Vishuddham Vasudeva Saptitam. The Vasudeva platform is Shuddha Sattva. It's when Krishna manifests in the heart. Sattvam Vishuddham, Shuddha Sattva. Shuddha Sattva means Satchidananda in all their glory. Free from the illusory energy. So he was mentioning and he was discussing from the Bhagavat Sandarbha the meaning of Vasu, Vasudev. Vasu means wealth. Yeah, Vasu. There's a meaning, and actually Prabhupada gives a meaning of Vasudev. Because the Vasudev platform is the Shuddha Sattva platform, and Prabhupada gives a meaning from Vasudev, it's with a shorty. From Vasudev comes Vasudev, because Vasudev is the father of Krishna. So Krishna is known as Vasudev because he's the son. And Vasudev is the father. It's the same, but there's a philosophical meaning to this as well. The Vasudev platform, it indicates, because Vasudev gives birth to Vasudev, the Vasudev platform gives birth to Vasudev in the heart. So if we come to the Shuddha Sattva platform, the platform of pure goodness, then what happens? Krishna manifests in our consciousness. So that's considered the birth of Krishna in our consciousness. So from Vasudev comes Vasudev, double meaning, okay? Everyone get it? From the father comes the son. So Vasudev platform is the father, and it gives birth to Vasudev or Krishna consciousness. So that's our goal. And Brinjavan Chandra Prabhu gave a lovely class as well. And he mentioned how bhakti is the amalgamation, right? I don't know how you phrased it, the amalgamation of the Samvit and the Ladini Shaktis, you see. So the Samvit's the knowledge, the Ladini is the pleasure potency. So they combine together, and that is what Bhakti Dev is. And there's actually a purport in Adi Leela. I tried to research this once, and I couldn't find this in Prabhupada's books. But then I found it. But it wasn't in English. You see, he didn't use the term Samvit and Ladini. He talked about the cognizance potency, I think, and the pleasure giving potency combined together. They make up Bhakti Devi. Bhakti Devi is a person. You see, Shrimati Tulsi Maharani, Brinda Devi Ki, Bhakti Devi Ki. When we say Bhakti Devi Ki, we're actually offering our obeisances to Bhakti Devi. And she gives her mercy. Bhakcha sanjataya bhakcha. Bhakti comes from bhakti. We can't get it from anywhere else. Although I mentioned at the beginning, it comes from pleasing a devotee. Why? Because the devotees carry bhakti in their hearts. And the Bhakti Dev will enter into the heart of anyone that she desires because she's spontaneous. That is our spontaneity. And even Krishna respects that spontaneity. He gives her that freedom and he respects it. So you can't come to Krishna directly, you come through Bhakti Devi. When she enters our hearts, then Krishna becomes controlled by us, by our devotion, you see. So when I was thinking, yes, how do we actually get that taste? And I was thinking about this verse, which is in the Nectar of Devotion, or the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindha. I'll say the verse again. Shuddha Sattva Visheshatma Prema Suryang Sasamyabak Ruchi Bishchida Masranya Krida Sau Bhava Uchati. Bhava is the melting of the heart, when the ray of the sun of Prema enters the heart. And it's Shuddha Sattva Visheshatma. So then we'll talk about Shuddha Sattva Visheshatma, because it ties in with what Vrindavan Chandra was saying, and also what Antaranga Prabhu was saying. So what is the meaning of Shuddha Sattva Visheshatma? Our Acharya's comment, the term Vishesha, actually, when Keshav Maharaj, he commented in one class this week as well, someone was talking about Vairagya, and he gave a meaning of Vairagya, means Vishesha Raga. It means special love. Because a sannyasi, real sannyas, the stable position of sannyas is your love for Krishna has awakened. So Vairagya means you have special love for Krishna. Some people think of Vairagya as the closing off of love, because they see it as relationships are finished. You become dead. In the material world, you become dead. So you lose your material relationships. But you end up, the sannyasi loves everyone and serves everyone and has love of Krishna within the heart. So Vairagya, although externally it looks like the end of emotional life, it's actually the broadening of emotional life. A sannyasi renounces his tiny family, blood relatives, and embraces the whole world, every living entity. So this huge family, sannyas has a huge family. Prabhupada would say, he said, I left my family, but now I have so many boys and girls, so many sons and daughters. Prabhupada's love for the world just increasing, ever increasing as he came to the West and gave shelter to so many sons and daughters. Sometimes people wonder, how do male and female address each other in the Hare Krishna movement? Prabhupada, the guru, sometimes he would say sons and daughters, or sometimes he would refer to his disciples as mothers. I have so many mothers looking after me. And sometimes he would refer to them as Prabhu. Some letters he would talk to some female disciples as Prabhu as well. So we ask, what did Prabhupada do? Prabhu, Mataji, daughter, they're all there. He sometimes would criticize this bhagini. Sometimes in India, the men refer to the woman as bhagini, means sister. They say, what is this bhagini? He says, Mataji. Mataji is better than bhagini. We shouldn't refer to each other as sister, brother, sister, etc. It's actually father or Prabhu, you know, Mataji, there's all these names. Prabhupada, he liked these particular names, you know. So carrying on. So I was kind of amazed that I was going to talk about this, and then all the topics came up in throughout the week. So what is meant by Visheshatma? Shuddha Sattva Visheshatma. The word Vishesha Atma, what it really means is it is the Shuddha Sattva, which is all three potencies, but there's an extra amount of Samvit and Thladini. You see? So when the Thladini, the pleasure potency, and the Samvit, the knowledge potency, are very, very prominent of the three, and that's Shuddha Sattva Vishesha Atma. It's special Shuddha Sattva because there's more Samvit and more Hladini. You see? So then we connect the two together. If Bhakti Devi is Samvit and Hladini, and Shuddha Sattva Vishesha Atma is extra Samvit and Hladini, then what's really been said here is Bhava means when Bhakti Dev is entering the heart. Now, Bhakti Dev enters the heart at an earlier stage. If we have faith, the mere presence of faith means that we've been blessed because we've had some encounter with a preacher, usually a Majjhimadikari, because that's their business. The Majjhimadikari, because they carry Krishna in their hearts, they may not be fully self-realized, but bhakti's in their heart, and when they preach, they go on the streets, they distribute Prabhupada's books, then Bhakti Dev, something's happening, no one knows, it happens. Bhakti Dev knows, we don't know how it's happening, it's inconceivable, but there's this energy within the heart of the devotee, even the Majjhimadikari, maybe not on the pure platform, but still, there's bhakti in the heart, and that bhakti's entering the heart of the person that's been spoken to. And that person starts to develop bhakti. And after several months, you know, you see them at Krishna Wisdom. Oh, how did you get there? Well, I got a flyer. I met this person on the street. I was really disturbed. And I just thought to myself, is there a God? And just at that time, some devotee came to me, and there's all these stories, you know. So it's all happening on the in an inconceivable platform that we have no understanding of. And what does the book distributor do? The book distributor has to not get in the way, right? The ego of the book distributor will spoil the transmission of bhakti. Therefore, the book distributor has to be humble and has to act as a conduit and has to understand I'm not the doer. And then it happens that way. So about a month ago, this one devotee, and I know this devotee, his name is, what's his name again? He's now got the record for number of books distributed. Mahotsava, yes, Mahotsava Prabhu. I went to New York several years ago and I met Mahotsava Prabhu. And he's a very ecstatic devotee. He lives and breathes Krishna consciousness. He's quite a young devotee. And he's very shastric as well. He knows so many shlokas. But he's also very empowered as a book distributor. So recently I've been told he went to some like big kind of supermarket where a lot of the rich Indians in Atlanta they go to. And he was just selling one Bhagavatam set after another, after another, after another. And he sold over 30 Bhagavatam sets just being at that supermarket. And he broke the record for the number of books distributed in one day. And I can't remember exactly how many, but it's over 1,000. It's huge. Anyone know? 3,000. Imagine doing 3,000 books. I mean, how can you do that? It's just incredible. I mean, if I did 3 books, I'd be happy, you know. But 3,000, it's like unbelievable. But anyway, the reason I bring this up, many, many years ago, there was a devotee, Hari Namananda, who broke the record. Now, he had a bad back, so he didn't go out for very long. And the day he broke the record, he went out and he was struggling like anything. Nothing was happening. No books were being distributed. And then suddenly something changed. Suddenly the books started flowing. It's a sign. It's like it shows you that it's not. There's something spiritual happening. There's something because that you can't explain that. How can it suddenly happen that you can go from distributing no books for a half an hour or something and suddenly it's just one after another? The same happened to Devan Rita Swami. He would distribute books every day and he'd go out on the Sunday, which was the day off. And he wasn't doing much. And then one day, suddenly something happened and the book started to flow. So you get these, they're miracles, just something changes. What is happening? It's like some mercy is flowing. The person's been chosen to be a distributor of Prabhupada's mercy. And that's just it's a great feeling. There isn't any greater feeling than being an instrument, is there? Now, I mentioned I'm a bad book distributor and I'm not exaggerating. It's true. And there was one time I went out for maybe 3 hours and I distributed one book. But it was so ecstatic because I could see Krishna was using me. I met 2 devotees. One of them was Jagat Bandhu. Some of you know him. He's a Prabhupada disciple. He was very sick and he was out of touch with the devotees and he's living alone in Watford. And he just bumped into me and I spoke to him and I said to him, well, look, today is the disappearance of Srila Prabhupada. And he's like, oh, really? I didn't know. He's a Prabhupada disciple. He didn't know. And I said to him, well, listen, if you want, I'm leaving in a half an hour's time. I'll take you to the temple. And he's like, yeah, please do that. So I distributed one book that day. But it was an ecstatic day because I met Jagat Bandhu. He came and he came to the temple, had the feast, and he got to sit with his godbrothers. And it was just a really ecstatic day for him. And he'd been out of touch. He was ill and he needed some help. And it was just a nice arrangement for everyone. So I saw myself as I was like an instrument in helping him come to the temple on the day of his spiritual master's disappearance. But also, I think it was the same day, I met one of my god sisters and we didn't even know each other. And the next day was the Vyasa Puja of my guru. So, and she said, oh, I didn't know. And so I took her to the Vyasa Puja the next day as well. So I'm terrible at distributing books, I mean, in terms of numbers. But I really like that if you make the effort, something's going to happen. You get these little arrangements. And sometimes that arrangement is like that. It's about people rather than books. And another example, I mean, I remember a few times I would take people to the temple. Because if you go to Watford, you can try this yourself. If you go to Watford and you go by car, you've got some space in your car, you can pray to Krishna, look, if you want me to take someone to the temple, I'll take them if you send them. And because several times it's happened to me, I don't, as I say, I'm not very good at talking when it comes to book distribution, but several times it's happened that I've met someone and then they've been interested and they've not even bought a book, but I've said to them, you know, if you want to visit the temple, I can take you. And they've been very interested and I've taken them to the temple and they get to see the cows, they get to take prasadam, etc. So you can do, it's very easy to go to do Sankirtan in Watford and find people that are interested in coming to the temple. And hopefully one day we'll have a regular bus, a shuttle bus, you know. We can go and, you know, take people from Watford to the temple each day. We have a program. We're getting very organized now, you know. There's a time when the Hare Krishnas were very disorganized. And, when George Harrison came to the manor, he was like shocked. You know, what have you done to the garden? You know, it was so beautiful. Now you've let it overrun. Because devotees were only thinking, we just got to sell books. We've got to deliver the world. And they didn't care about what the property looked like. So now we've kind of got that part together. We got the property together. But I will say something that Adi Guru has said to me several times, and I think he's onto a good point. He's like, you know what? We're always talking about how wonderful the book distribution is, but we only got 3 full-time devotees at the manor going out. Now, I'm not sure if that's true or not, but Adi Guru's got a really good bhav, and Premarnava Prabhu, too, because they were out, they were doing Sankirtan many, many years ago when the mood was different, and it was harder, and you had to actually go out in the street more. There was less time you spend in the ashram. You can spend your time in the ashram studying Prabhupada's books. It's really nice. But there's a certain taste you get when you go out and you do the Harinam Sankirtan, the transcendental book distribution. And if you do that regularly, it really, after a while, it kind of like builds up and you get a higher taste. And if you go off that platform, you forget altogether. Because I had this experience recently. I went to Glastonbury and it was purifying. You know, in other words, it was really difficult. Because all this loud music, and I'm sleeping in a tent, and I've got the smallest tent, and I deliberately bring the smallest tent because I know that if you don't come early, there's no space to put a big tent anyway, because it's like it's so crushed. The Hare Krishna area is so small that if you bring a big tent, you wouldn't be able to have any space for it. So you'd have to go out with the other people out there who are getting drunk and making a noise. And so I'd rather be with the devotees in a small tent than be in a big tent outside of where the devotees are. So I came and, you know, I couldn't sleep at night because all this loud music, and it was really cold at night as well. It was really hot during the day, really cold at night. I thought I brought a hat and I brought an extra few coats, and I thought to myself that should be enough. But for some reason at night it dropped so low that even when I was wearing all my clothes, I was still cold. You know, so I was suffering, but it was like I had no chance of material enjoyment because it was just a horrible environment. But then every day we'd be doing 5 hours of kirtan in the tent, and then we'd go out and do Harinam throughout the grounds. And there was a nice book table there as well. We had Ekavarna there. We had Bhakta Peter. They were manning the book table. And so you were really tired, but you did all this kirtan and book distribution going on, and people were taking prasadam. So it's all going on, all the three together. You have these three together, it's a really, really nice experience. Because some people, you know, they don't want to hear the philosophy. And other people, they'll hear the chanting, but they don't like the philosophy. But then some people, they don't even want to hear the chanting, but they want to eat the food, you know. So you're going to get them one way or the other. You're going to get them through philosophy, through the chanting, or through the prasadam. And prasadam is the one that everyone will take. I mean, who's going to say no to prasadam, you know? So prasadam is the enemy. Well, it's the enemy of Vaya. It's the weapon. It's this hidden weapon, because you can't always get people to be favorable. But if you give them nice food, yes. That way, Krishna's mercy is entering them, and they don't even know it. So gradually, they're going to change. Once they've taken prasadam, they'll be more interested in hearing. They'll be more interested in purchasing a book, you see. So I was going through this, and then just on the last day, I left on the Sunday. On the last day, I suddenly got the higher taste. I was thinking, oh, yes, this is great. I'm doing this chanting, and this is just, this could go on forever. You know, I don't mind. I don't mind sleeping in a tent if I can get this lovely feeling when the crowd are there, and then you chant, and then you give them a little short talk, and you tell them about yoga or about expanding the consciousness, and you don't tell them about God, because they don't like God, right? God's like a bad word. Giri always told me this. He goes, I started giving little short talks, and he said to me, this was several years ago, he said, don't use the word God, because people they don't like religion. It's actually true. On one occasion, we were out on the Harinam, and then this young man, he just became totally blissed out, and he started hugging everyone, all the devotees. He's like, he goes, I'm not religious, but you Hare Krishnas, I can do the Hare Krishna thing. You're so full of goodwill, good vibes, goodwill. And he started hugging us, and he was giving the little heart sign. Every one of us, he's coming up to us, hugging us and doing this. And he loved us. I'm just a young man. But this is what we need to be doing. Fortunately, what is religion? What does it mean? The word religion is connected to our very identity. So if someone says, I'm not into religion, what they're actually saying is, I don't care for my real identity. That's what they're saying, which is madness. It's absolute madness. Why is it? It's because people have a bad conception about organized religion, right? Now, back to Sananda Sarasvati, he wrote a famous article called Putana, where he compares the witch Putana to the people that hijack organized religion. There's a certain demonic type of person that can find their way up to the positions of leadership within religious organizations, but they themselves have a demonic mentality. So they're like Putana. Putana, the reason is Putana looks so nice. She's a maid, she's a nurse, she's coming to feed Krishna. She's the well-wisher, she's the good person. So it's a cloak. She's a witch, she's a demon, she's an evil demon, demoness, coming to kill Krishna. But even the Brajbasis, they don't realize, and she comes right into the very center and picks up Krishna and starts to feed Krishna. How does she get in? Her disguise is so perfect. So within religious organizations, there will be people, they will look like they're pure, but they're actually, their agenda is something different. And they spoil organized religion. Now, we may wonder why that happens. Why does Krishna allow that? There's actually another reason. There's a reason for this. It is to keep the unqualified people away from gaining access to Krishna. It's like an obstacle. We have this obstacle. So many people, and I understand it, some people will say, I'm not interested in ISKCON because I don't like organized religion. And they'll point to some incident or some person that fell down, and there's so many reasons. We won't go into them. You all know the reasons. You just need to go on the internet and everyone's talking about it, right? But we should understand, don't cheat ourselves. We should be the change that we want to see, right? We should say, okay, well, how do we improve things? Well, I should practice what I preach. I'm against this, therefore I should be good myself. I should set a good example. And we should all set a good example. And if enough of us set a good example, then collectively, the whole organization becomes to a higher platform. And the wrong thing to do is to say, it is wrong, it is bogus, and therefore I have nothing to do with it. Because people that do that, they don't end up with any sadhu sangha. You know, Madhavananda Prabhu, he once wrote an article about the Putana article. And he said, why do we have organized religion then? If it's Putana, if it leads to corruption. The answer is because it gives the opportunity to sadhu sangha. So ISKCON is what you want it to be. If you want the pure thing, if you want the diamond of prema, you want the sadhus, you will get that because Krishna will arrange that for you. But if you're not sincere, then all you'll see is false and you'll end up leaving and you won't even get the good stuff, you see. It's amazing, you go to any city in the world, practically, you just need to go online and you'll find a Hare Krishna temple there. And you can go and get sadhu sangha. That's why organized religion is so wonderful. Organized religion, ki jai, gives us sadhu sangha, right? So anyway, so going back to Glastonbury, so that's why, you know, Giri said to me several years ago, don't mention religion, don't mention God. So we talk in other ways. I talk about, we want to expand our consciousness. And I was explaining, you know, people spend so much money to expand their consciousness. How much does it cost university fees for 3 years? Some like £50,000. It's going to go up and up. Before we know it, it'll be 100,000. You know, I think there's some of these Ivy League universities in the States. I mean, it's astronomical fees, you know, just to get education. Why are people doing it? Because they want to expand their consciousness. Now, for some of them, it's just so they can get a good job to earn lots of money. But for many, the subjects they're taking, it's like, no, you don't earn a living out of studying Latin or Greek or, you know, there's so many subject matters that get studied at university and they're not actually practically useful. But people will spend lots of money to get good education. We call it good education. It's material education. Prabhupada said, the science of the self should be taught in these universities. So I said to the people, I said, look, people will spend £50,000 to expand their consciousness. I said, well, we have this mantra, it's free. You know, you'll expand your consciousness by chanting this mantra. And I teach them the Maha Mantra. And people like the idea of expanding their consciousness. They don't like the idea of religion. They don't like the idea of God. God means surrender to something that they don't want to surrender to. God means follow some rules that you can't follow. Like, you know, all this stuff within the rules. One of the reasons people don't like religion is because it messes up people's sexuality and they can't combine the two properly and it just causes so much friction. So they don't like this. The difficult part, of course, is getting a higher taste. When you have a higher taste, the whole thing works. Without that higher taste, there are so many problems. You know, there's so many problems and people try and renounce, but they don't get the higher taste and then they fall down and it becomes a big scandal. There's so many, you know, yeah, we all know about it. But if we get the higher taste, simply get the higher taste, then it's all sorted. So that's a little bit about Glastonbury. I'll stop soon because I think I want to stop just at the right time when prasad's ready, so that when we all go, we can have prasadam straight away. And I'm not going to overrun because I don't have so much to say. But I'll say one extra thing. I mentioned this Radha Krishna Bolo Re Subhai. So I had a look at it and I noticed something that after this verse, which is Mayara Vashi Jaichi Beshi Katcha Habu Dudubu, by a person under the grip of material energy is carried away by the waves of the illusory energy. In the next verse, Bhaktivinoda Thakur talks about being Krishna Das. So we can be Maya Das or Krishna Das. So Maya Das means a servant of Maya. Krishna Das means a servant of Krishna. So in this purport, Prabhupada says, however, a person in the spiritual energy is a servant of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So he's basically saying Krishna Das. So I'm thinking to myself, Prabhupada may be looking at Gitavali and taking the next verse of Bhaktivinoda Thakur and talking about Krishna Das and Maya Das. But I was reflecting that we sometimes have this false notion that there's a third option. You know, there's Krishna Das, Maya Das. And we say, well, look, I'm not Krishna conscious, but at least I'm not in Maya. You say they say that, right? What does that mean? Well, let's analyze this. What does it mean? What it really means is the Maya that I'm in is so slight, is so subtle that it doesn't get classed as Maya. Like I'm not breaking the principles, but in my mind I am. I'm breaking the principles in my mind. I'm not thinking of Krishna, so I'm thinking of other things. Anandamoy Biasat. I'm pleasure-seeking by nature. Therefore, I'm getting pleasure from something other than Krishna. What is the nature of that pleasure? Is that Krishna? No, it's Maya. So when people say, I'm not Krishna consciousness, I'm not Krishna conscious, but I'm not in Maya, they actually, what they're saying is they are in Maya, they just don't want to admit it. But they're just saying, I'm not in big Maya, I'm in small Maya, right? So Prabhupada makes this point. He talks about the Brahmavadis or the Mayavadis. There's a famous verse in the 10th canto, Yenyera Vindaksha Vamuktamanina Tvayasta Bhavada Vishuddha Buddhayaha Arushya Kritshrena Padam Padatata Patanchado Nadrita Yushmadangrayaha. The Mayavadis, Prabhupada refers to this verse as he's talking about the Mayavadis. The Mayavadis, with great endeavor, they apparently rise above the modes of material nature and they consider themselves liberated. But because they neglect to worship the lotus feet of the Lord, they fall down again. So this is the path of Mayavad. It's very difficult to elevate yourself above the modes of material nature without taking to Krishna consciousness. And those that do, they're only imagining that they're liberated. They're actually not liberated and they fall down again. So we should, and I take that, Prabhupada's very firm on that. I take that to mean, let's not pretend there's another option. Either it's Krishna Das or Maya Das. So we have to be Krishna conscious. We're not Krishna conscious, so we're in Maya, you know. And if we keep that thought in our mind, we'll get rid of the complacency of thinking, well, you know, at least I'm not falling down. At least I'm like, I'm not in Maya and things are okay. I'm not Krishna conscious, but at least I'm living the good life and I'm not in Maya. It doesn't exist. Hare Krishna. So I'll stop here and thank you for your time. And if anyone's got any comments, questions or corrections, I'm happy to. Prabhuji.
Thank you very much. So many times we're hearing about blessings, about mercy, ask for mercy, ask for blessings. But what mercy actually means? What is a practical thing? Because I was just speaking with spiritual master and he just shifted my concept of it. So I would like to hear your...
Mercy, okay. Okay. Mercy involves conscious living entities. Mercy means someone that Krishna has high regard for, has feelings of goodwill towards someone because of something they've done, or even just for no reason whatsoever. Then because of that, Krishna then gives bhakti to some extent to that person. It is the flow, ultimately, from the platform of, looking at it from the platform of tattva, it's, I mentioned how bhava is bhakti entering the heart. I also mentioned how faith indicates that bhakti has also entered the heart. So the process of spiritual advancement is gradual, where bhakti is increasingly taking control of the heart of that person. So mercy means an increase of bhakti, and that's caused by pleasing a devotee. And then, so that's what it is, that's what mercy is. And if someone, see, sometimes the spiritual master, right? Sometimes the spiritual master wants to initiate someone, but that person isn't qualified, so they can't do it. They want to do it. They want that person to come to the platform, but they can't do it. That person is desiring, but they can't actually say, they can't bless the person for initiation because they're not ready, right? So, so the point is that the disciple should try their best to do something, act in such a way that they become qualified, because there's an element of qualification to mercy. Mercy can't flow unless the person is qualified. One time Prabhupada said, I can't help you if you don't follow the regulative principles. So I was having a discussion with someone recently, actually yesterday, about an argument that's sometimes used, and I said, I disagree with this argument. And you may have heard it before, and I'll explain why I disagree with it. And it's been a bit controversial, because I've seen it written in some of the official literature of ISKCON, but I disagree with this argument, and I'll tell you why. This person said, because sometimes people criticize and say, oh, there's no pure devotees in ISKCON. And then people look counter and say, oh, if that's the case, then what you're saying is Prabhupada is not powerful enough to make any pure devotees, so you're criticizing Prabhupada. And I don't agree with that argument for the following reason. For a start, there are many branches of our sampradaya which have shriveled up and finished. So there was a line of self-realized souls, and at some point the lineage finished. Does that mean that self-realized soul was not empowered? Oh, if he was self-realized, why did he not produce self-realized disciples? But branches are always breaking. It's the nature of a parampara. It's always breaking. Why Krishna comes yuga after yuga to re-establish. Why re-establish it? If they're pure devotees and they're self-realized, why are they not empowered? But the point is, the person has to be a suitable recipient. The person has to be sincere. And there's an example in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Kala Krishna Das, he had the association of Lord Chaitanya and he fell down. The gypsies bewildered him. And Prabhupada in the purport says, if you're not sincere in your purpose, even the Supreme Personality of Godhead can't save you. Because Krishna doesn't interfere, the spiritual master does not interfere with our independence. Therefore, there has to be sincerity on our part. Therefore, we can't say, Prabhupada's a pure devotee, therefore there must be pure devotees here. Now, I personally think there are pure devotees here. Not as in this room, I don't know where they are. But in ISKCON, I think I'm happy to accept there are people going back to Godhead. But I'm not saying, Prabhupada has to make them pure devotees because it would look bad on his part, you see. Anyway, I've digressed a little bit. I was talking about mercy. I tried to answer your question, not very well, but hopefully, is that okay? Thank you. Okay. And then Vishnu Bar after that, probably. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. I'm so fortunate to be here first time.
Thank you.
I'm from Srila Prabhupada's city. Not only that, before Srila Prabhupada took sannyas, he used to visit his daughter in our neighborhood. Sunday morning, keep chanting with kartal and had some sweets, a very small white sweets. We learned the children. I am hardly four years old with other children. We learned that Sunday morning, what time? We don't know who is that man.
No.
And we used to stretch the hand.
Thank you.
And he asked, first you have to say, that Hare Krishna Haribal. And until we say, we'll not give the sweets. It's a very small, like pea size.
Chai.
And that is our attraction for whole week. And I used to go the back door. It's a different road from where the Prabhupada passed to visit his daughter before sannyas. So I remember I got the sweets from his hand.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Chai.
And not only that.
Which daughter? You had two daughters. Which daughter was it?
Yes, possibly youngest one. Because of, I don't know, we are so small. Okay. Gradually recapitulated. And one of the granddaughter used to study in the same class to my next sister. And my next sister used to bring messages. We don't know who is that man. The message is about when he left for the USA that time, and my sister was so sad, lost someone, that beloved something. So I'm so fortunate to be
Thank
here.
You.
Thank Hare Thank Krishna.
Hare Bol. Okay, thank you. You know, Prabhupada had two daughters. Does anyone know the names of his daughters?
I don't know, but one of the daughters used to live there. You can tell me the names.
Yes. It's funny that our relationship with Srila Prabhupada is so much based on spiritual science that we don't know so much about it. We don't tend to know so much about his life.
I
Sulakshana and Bhaktilata are the daughters of Prabhupada. Yes.
So it's
Jai.
And possibly this daughter was closed, and the youngest son was closed, those who visited to see off for the wife.
Yes. And he had three sons. Who are the sons of Prabhupada? The names of them. Anyone know? Prayag. There's one other one. Hmm? Vishnu Babu. Tura.
Just to help out, you know, on this point,
yes.
The meaning of mercy. I've studied a little bit of Latin, being in Italian. Mercy in Latin means misericordia, and misericordia, you know, the word misery can divide into two, misery and ricordia. It's that you put someone with an act of benevolence, says here, piety, compassion, sympathy, humanity, and fondness, and ultimately love, which includes everything, forgiveness. You know, just like when people, they were about to be judged or hanged, they would say, have a mercy. It means put him out of misery. But in our context, it's an act of benevolence, either by the catalyst person who favors you, which is a devotee, or by God Himself, like Govinda was saying, that they show special favor. And this favor is an act of, favorably disposed towards the recipient of mercy. So God makes Himself favorable, favorably disposed. That means, you know, He will enter in your heart in the form of love, prasad is mercy, and comes in so many ways, form of books, or prasad, or the hearing topics, such as the Chaitanya Charitamrita, like we are hearing, you know, you absorb mercy, that's purifying, and that is a contribution to your storage of piety. And misericordia, you know, it puts you out of misery. That's the power of mercy. And also you'll be remembered. Misericordia means remembrance. You'll be remembered by God somehow or another. That's what it means, mercy. Hare Krishna.
Jai. And there's a thing about justice and mercy. They're two sides, they're two different things. If you deserve something, it's not so much mercy, right? There's justice and mercy. So in spiritual life, we should understand that everything's actually mercy. We maybe do lots of sadhana. If someone becomes advanced due to lots of sadhana, we may think, well, that was fair, that was justice because they tried hard. But actually, sadhana in and of itself does not qualify one to the gift. The gift is so precious that even sadhana, even rigid sadhana, does not qualify one. And so everything's mercy. So what we do is we try our bit, we try very hard. And if we get it, we shouldn't think that I got what I deserved. We should think I got what I didn't deserve. And because, you know, the Lord favours those who, Lord helps those who help themselves. But ultimately, it's not fair. There's no justice here because it's so valuable. Vrindavan Chandra Prabhu.
On one point you made during class, we understand that bhakti is eternally the nature of the soul,
yes.
Devotion. And we also hear about the bhakti lata beach being mm-hmm. transferred. And you mentioned in the class about the book distribution, the Madhya Madhikari transmits this bhakti energy to the recipient. So how do we understand both? That one is the seed of bhakti being planted, at the same time, bhakti being eternally the nature of the soul.
Yes. Okay. So that's one of those topics that kind of relates to different branches of the Gaudiya tree, and there's some, you know. See, there's a fair room for metaphor and symbology within our tradition. So if someone wants to say, you know, bhakti is not inherent, it is coming from a sadhu, then we can understand the bhakti lata beach to be something kind of, that metaphor is carrying that meaning, right? If we say someone gave the seed, it sounds like we never had it before and then we were given it, right? And for some people, that's actually what it means. But if you accept bhakti as inherent within us and it's just a matter of awakening it, then it's just a matter of language. And said, giving someone a seed, what it really means is you're activating it. See, either way, both parties agree that without the association of devotee, it cannot activate, it cannot grow, right? So either you're going to think it's there and it needs a devotee to start the process of it growing, or you're saying it's not there and a devotee plants it, you know. But either way, we both agree that the devotee must be there. So I'm happy with the idea that bhakti is inherent, and it's just become covered over. I've got no problem with that philosophy. And for me, therefore, when I hear the bhakti lata bij, I just say what that means is he's activating the seed. It's like, you know, sometimes for seeds to actually grow, they need to be like heated, or if you heat a seed, it kills it. But there's a certain vernalization. There's some word, it's like a Latin word or a Greek word. What it means is if you want something to grow, you have to like, vernalization or something it's called. It's where you change the temperature of a seed to make it think it's winter. And after that, it will then grow, something like that. There's a system to do it, because nature does it automatically. Seeds grow at a certain time because they know when to grow because of the temperature. So there's a way you can do that. Anyway.
I used to imagine that this concept, a lake inside, something like something inside.
Yeah.
It flows and gives so many welfare.
Thank you. Anyway, I'm not really answered the question, but Prabhupada spoke in a certain way, and if someone wants to interpret it one way and someone wants to interpret it another way, I have no issue personally. I can see I can't go into the minutiae of the scriptures to kind of explain that apparent contradiction, but for me it's not a problem because, you know, analogies are there, and you know how you extend an analogy as far as it's meant to be extended, and if you extended it further, then maybe you come up with the wrong conclusion, you know. So yeah. And I'm not going to be a judge on what exactly that means. What does it actually mean to give the Bhakti Lata Beach? Anyway. But I will say one thing. In our existence, Ladini is always there, either in the perverted form of material enjoyment, or in the spiritual form, or even in the marginal form as Brahmananda. That's how the Ladini Shakti manifests. So as we're Satchidananda beings, and if we're conditioned souls, we're Asat, Achid, and Nirananda, but they're all aspects of Satchidananda in the perverted form. Therefore, Ladini is always there. If we enjoy, someone enjoys a Big Mac, right? That's Ladini in the perverted reflection, you see. So we're always, Ladini is always there. So if we say, you know, how can we say that Ladini Shakti is not always there? It's part of our very nature. We're Satchidananda beings by nature, even before we become self-realized. So we're never not with Ladini, it's just what aspect of Ladini were there, you know. Anyway, Hare Krishna. Thank you. Grantara Srimad Bhagavat, Grantara Srijitanya Charjamadaki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki, Itai Gaur Premanandi.